This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Now, most any modern musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. At just 31 years of age, today's guest has been around the genre for a while now. He made his debut while recording his first CD at the age of 7, his second at the age of 10. And I have to tell you, this young man's name has been on my list of interviews to pursue almost since this program launched nearly 3 calendar years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pride to welcome Delmark recording artist and Chicago's own Jemiah Rogers to Time Signatures. Welcome aboard, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you, man. So there's a ton of stuff that we have to talk about here because you've got quite the pedigree for a guy your age. But I have to start with the obvious. As I was preparing for this interview, I read that you and your band play regularly at your church. Is that correct?
So to correct that, to clarify, I play at my church. All of my band members play at church. We don't play at the church, but we all play at a church.
Okay, and so the dirty church band kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Very legit.
Now, I have to ask you, where did Dirty Deacon Denzel moniker come from? I love it.
Okay, so very original, very... as you can say, homegrown, as you can tell from my whole musical background, I'm a homegrown musician, raised in a musical family. Mom sang, late mom sang, and my dad sang also, but was a multi-instrumentalist. And also, I was raised in church, to put the cap on top of it. But I started most of my musical journey as a drummer, for sure, as playing behind my pops, but I also play every Sunday at church and also at school and whenever my dad, you know, had to use me as a drummer. But that's where it came from. The Dirty Deacon for sure was incorporated with the Dirty Church Band, but my dad being a deacon, I was like, I might as well just go ahead and take that name. Put the Dirty Deacon in. And my middle name is Denzel, so Dirty Deacon Denzel, it got a ring to it.
Absolutely. And you almost seem like you enjoy that kind of bad boy reputation type of thing. Is that also true?
I stay true to myself. You know, I don't try to like really sugarcoat things. So, I mean,
That's cool. So, all right, we're going to go back just a little bit because you were one of those kids, as you said just a moment ago, you grew up in a deeply rooted musical background, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Homegrown. To put an age on it, I started playing drums at the age of 3. My dad played guitar. He sang the blues, had a band, but he called it the Tony Rogers Band. We played all types of music, reggae, blues, funk, R&B, whatever we could, you know what I'm saying? Popular music, what was popular then and now. I was learning how to shuffle at 6 or 7 years old from my dad and his friends. Going to all the open mics, open jams and stuff. That's why I'm really trying to just be careful on what I say. Can't let too much information out. But a major part of the homegrown in my career, early career, was this place called La Rosa's in the suburbs, Hammond, Indiana. Mm-hmm. I used to beg my pops after like every Sunday night. That's where it took place. So that's kind of like where this whole dirty church and dirty side of the blues came from.
Okay.
After every Sunday night, I would beg my pops to take me to this open mic in Hammond, Indiana, this place called La Rosa's. And the house band was basically a blues band, all 50 and up plus all age guys. You know what I mean? I didn't really have no business there. You know what I'm saying? Pool, smoking cigarettes, you know what I'm saying? Live blues, you know what I'm saying? It was where you wanted to be on a Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? Right before you got to go right back to work for the whole week. And I'm begging my pops to take me there because I know it's like these couple of guys where I just know they just they could play guitar to, you know what I'm saying, the end of time. So it was this one guy named Jimmy J who you could tell he studied Albert King most of his life.
Okay.
And if you close your eyes, if he played I Play the Blues for You, if he played Crosscut Saw, if he played Born Under a Bad Sign, he would sound just like him. And he could play everything else too. But at the same time, I would be begging to go see this other guy named Stan Skibbe, who was who you could tell been studying Hendrix his whole life, for sure. So it's like he was left-handed. He dressed like Jimmy the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Sang like Jimmy the whole time. The whole guitar, stage presence. It was like I'm sitting just as close as I am. I could be sitting to you in that chair. I'm watching this go down every Sunday night. And that was my, you know what I'm saying? I would say homework and at the same time, my introduction to what I knew I wanted to be at a young age.
I was just going to say, I regularly ask my interviewees at what age they decided that a life in music was in the cards for them. But for you, it seems pretty evident that you made that determination almost immediately, didn't you?
Yes, sir. It was something I didn't even have to think about. I mean, not to be honest, the transition to from drums to guitar wasn't as easy as probably everybody would think it would be, because I thought I would just probably be a drummer for my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I could probably play guitar on the side. Drums was my love from probably 3 all the way up until like I had to get these sit down lessons from my pop at like 8 or 9 years old. And you know what I mean? Like it was good for me, and that's, I appreciate it now. So that's kind of like where it took place at, between the ages of 8 and 9, where I picked up guitar for real, for real.
And like your father, you are also now a multi-instrumentalist, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
What all do you play, man?
Drums, guitar, bass, piano, and I can produce a little bit for lesser words, just to keep it at a minimum. I love all percussion. I played violin, I played saxophone, clarinet when I was growing up, drum school stuff. I was in symphonic band. I have my associates in music education.
Okay.
I study jazz guitar, I study classical guitar, and at the end of the day, I still want to go on stage and play blues and scream at the top of my lungs.
You know what? I've seen a couple of your videos from Roses. I know you do.
Yes, sir. Don't hold back.
Hey, but it begs the question, what, no harmonica yet? You haven't picked that up yet?
I've touched it, you know, and at the end of the day, I feel like that is an instrument that has to be in you and not on you.
Okay, all right.
I had appreciation for harmonica. Like, Billy Branch is, you know what I mean, just to throw that name out there.
Oh, man.
Billy Branch, John Primer. I went on a week-long tour with them overseas, and just to, like, I mean, been growing up around John Primer, I mean, and Billy Branch, just, you know, as harmonica players. I love them. But I would never, I'm not saying I would never, but not no time soon. I wouldn't try to pick up a harmonica.
That's okay. That's something I'm working on right now myself, because I've tried the guitar and I just don't have the patience for the, you know, getting the calluses built up on the fingers and all that. I got to tell you, I picked up the album that you recorded with your dad when you were a little boy. I just found a copy of that. I would love, and I have not been able to find a copy of the first 2 CDs that you put out. So we got to talk about that when this was done. I would love to buy a copy of both of those from you if they're available.
So we can work something out.
Yeah, definitely. But I would love to have you talk about those early projects. I mean, clearly it's stuff that you did when you were younger. Your dad probably helped, I would assume.
I mean, well, yeah, he kind of walked me through the whole thing. It was a field trip for me, for sure. I mean, I can't really verbatim, like, tell you everything, but just for what it was, I recorded my home studio is Racks Tracks. If anybody knows about Racks Tracks in Chicago, I won't say too much, but that's the name of it. I've done a majority of my projects there, but that first one definitely was like a field trip there.
I bet.
Yeah, like a full-blown studio, full headphones, full mic up on the drum set.
Wow.
I mean, me and my dad have been playing the songs the whole time, so it's like, it's not really nothing he got to do, you know what I'm saying, re-rehearse me. It's like, Jamiah, play that song. Jamiah, play this song. Jamiah, play this song. So we just doing run throughs of the song. I'm having fun the whole time with things I've been doing the whole time. I'm like, mind you, 6 years old, four or five years old. And man, it was a thrill.
Now, I've got a friend over here in the Metro Detroit area. It's Detroit's Prince of the Blues. Chris Canis is his name. If you're not familiar with him, he did a lot of his own, I think he said the first six or seven albums he did all on his own. Okay, started a multi-track recorder, played all of the instruments, did everything from start to finish. You kind of remind me, you have that same drive. You seem like you're very similar to him in that way.
I mean, well, yeah, I have projects where I've recorded all of my own instruments and stuff like that. More particularly this my pandemic project, I like to nickname it. It's called Born Again Blues.
Yeah.
It's on Apple Music. It's the blue project with me with the suit on. And it's five original songs. I'm playing drums, I'm playing bass, I'm playing multiple guitar parts, I'm doing
other
background parts on songs that I've written myself. And I mean, I just had some slick help on the whole engineering side. I haven't become a whole studio engineer, but just me and my home studio, I definitely know how to navigate through like Logic Pro and stuff like that and this interface I've been working through. So I do have the same drive as our friend over there in the corner, you know, that recorded his own prices. We probably talk the same language and do the same couple things. So yeah, I'm no stranger to that type of...
I'll have to hook you guys up, man, because I think you guys could have some really good conversations. But absolutely. And he's a little older than you, so he's got a little more experience. Yes, but I wanted to ask you, listening to those older discs, do you cringe when you hear those, or do you smile because they bring back some fond memories?
It probably depends on the song, but majority of it, I get a little cringe. I'm sure as every artist does, because we're so sensitive about our stuff and our art. So, you know, yeah, it brings up old memories and old emotions about things and probably places that inspired the whole project in the first place. So it's like, yeah, to visit that place, it probably gave me a little cringe.
Yeah, that album with your dad, especially 50, 60 years down the road when you're an old man, is going to bring back some really fond memories, I'm sure. You could probably look at that thing when you're 60, 70 years old and go, was I really that young?
Yeah, no, definitely. Hopefully I still got the same face.
Right on. Now, I read that your early influences included the likes of Bob Marley, Hendrix, the Three Kings, Howlin' Wolf, and Muddy Waters, among others. And as I listened to your Blues Superman album, I absolutely heard strains of Hendrix in there, even in your voice. But you do have a sound that's uniquely your own. How do you balance those influences with your natural progression in music?
I balance them by staying true to myself with an instrument, even without an instrument. I'm trying to find the right way to put it. Some people try to, you know, be a different person while performing. I can honestly say that I'm the same person that I am off stage that I am on stage. I might just be more amplified, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Because I got a microphone and my guitar is plugged up and, you know, I have a crowd of people. But at the same time, if you have like a one-on-one conversation with me, and even if it's musical versus non-musical, my energy and my conversation, musical conversation versus whatever type of conversation we have, I put in the same type of energy versus, you know what I'm saying?
Based on what I've heard from the music that I've heard of you so far, you definitely lean towards the blues. However, you're not afraid to mix in some other genres as well. Talk about that for just a moment, would you please?
For sure. So just me being a versatile musician, I love all genres. If you ask me what's my favorite type of music, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you. I probably just tell you if it sounds good and I can understand the lyrics. It has to make sense. Music has to make sense to me. And it sounds good, I would tell you I love it. My ear for it has been, you know, used and abused, but for less of words. So if you just talk to me and I can just hear like just certain tones and stuff like that, that will come out in my playing.
Okay.
I asked my two musicians, and I generally play with a bass player and a drummer. I have my a certain selective people of piano playing that I will call, but that has to be a holiday, and or I would just have to feel like it. But the reason, that's really the reason I like to play with just a three piece. I like to expand on certain sounds and certain, you know what I'm saying, voices of music that wouldn't come normally if I was using an extra person. So just even with reggae sounds, R&B sounds, I love people that I would say are dedicated to like one genre of music. They have a certain vocabulary, I would say, that you have to use in that certain type of music. It's certain blues vocabulary that you have to use in blues. It's certain R&B vocabulary. It's certain gospel vocabulary that
right.
you have to use. So me growing up in all these different environments, I learned that, and I love to use that and probably like throw people off sometimes. So that's where it comes from.
Your appearance at Roses, I think it was in December of last year, right after your first song, you're like, yeah, I guess you guys weren't ready for that yet, huh? Or something to that. Because you come out of the gate firing, and I've seen that with other people, including Chris that we mentioned a few minutes ago. Sure. You know, just coming out of the gate, you know, firing on all eight cylinders, and it's a lot of fun. It really is. But I want to talk to you about that appearance that you made during the 2010 Experience Hendrix concert with Billy Cox at the legendary Chicago Theater. Tell me about that. Pardon the pun, experience, would you please?
I mean, do you want me to walk you through like what happened, or do you want to know like how I felt, or do you want to know?
You can encapsulate it and talk about it. Yeah, I'd like to hear what was going through your mind when that happened. That was a big deal.
Oh, I really wasn't supposed to be there, but I was supposed to be there.
Okay.
If that's the words. A friend of a friend, like and that's crazy, like you brought that situation up. Going back full circle to the place, La Rosa's, that I was talking about, the Stan Skibbe guy that been studying Hendrix his whole life. He was the person he was the reason why I was even there in the first place.
Oh, man. Now that does not surprise me. That's cool. Go ahead.
So full circle, you just it's about who you know. And I'll just throw that out there. It's about who you know. It's about what you and how you do things out here. It's about what you're doing, who you know. Relationships are very important. So I'm walking through the backstage door of the Chicago Theater. I don't even know what I'm doing, why I'm there. I've never been to the Chicago Theater before. Let me start there. I think I'm probably 13 or 14, 12. Maybe. Yeah, 09. I had just graduated grammar school. So yeah, 12, 13.
Okay.
I'm walking through the backstage door, Chicago Theater. I got my guitar on my back, my Strat, Fender Strat, and I'm walking through stage playing what song? Power Soul was playing. Living Color was playing Power Soul while I was coming through the back door. I'm walking up the stairs to the green room, and all these different musicians are chilling. I don't know who's who, but I know a few musicians just from like CD covers, tape covers from I'm growing up listening to these Robert Randolph, Eric Johnson, Ernie Isley, man, yeah, and I'm walking past these people, a couple people sitting in the green room. My dad says, pull out your guitar, plug up, start playing. I start playing, I forgot what I'm playing. I think I started playing the intro to Lil Wayne. I start doing that. Some people come in, they sit down, yeah, you sound good, my guy. You sound real good. I stop playing. By the time I'm like moving out the room, somebody's grabbing my guitar and I'm heading downstairs to where the stage is. I see the stagehands tuning my guitar. Somebody else talking to me, telling me, asking me, do you know Red House? I said, yep. Mind you, the person that asked me, they introducing the people. He asking me, do I know Red House? They introducing the people. Billy Cox just walked out on stage, just asked me, do I know Red House? I'm putting on my guitar. The guy that just told my guitar, he putting up my guitar on me. He says, that's your pedal boy right there. I'm walking out on stage. They just introduced me. Stevie Ray Vaughan's drummer. I'm mad I can't remember his name right now. He's on drums right there. Billy Cox is playing bass. A couple of other guys on guitar on the other side. And I'm on left stage left at the end. Take a solo.
Oh, man.
I think it's 16 by solo. I'm at the end of the stage. People clapping. Woo, 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 woo. And yeah, I played Red House with Billy Cox and everybody else. I took a picture with, I'm shoulder to shoulder, bowing with, you know, the greats of the greats. And ever since then, I ain't never looked back, for sure.
Something about getting that first taste on stage just gets you hooked, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Especially,
I wish I was a little
especially,
older, it probably
especially on the stage at the legendary Chicago Theater. I mean, wow. And yeah. And with name, you know, with a name like Billy Cox too. That's awesome.
Man. Believe it.
Well, I want to turn the page here. Your work in music has not only taken you through Chicago, but it's also taken you on tours of Europe and France, most notably with three of my all-time favorite blues musicians, two of which are from Chicago, and you mentioned them a moment ago, the legendary John Primer and Billy Branch, and the incomparable Anika Chambers. Now, my first impression to this was wow, but then all three of them seem to genuinely care about helping that next generation along. Your thoughts?
Definitely. I agree with every part of that statement. I love Miss Anika Chambers. I love John Primer. I love Billy Branch. Billy Branch has been more instrumental in my blues career, blues journey for sure. Making sure I know more about the roots. Like I was saying, blues vocabulary, he definitely
yes,
introduced me a lot of that. And I appreciate him for that. And he still continues to do so. And he's a great for it. And also John Primer.
You know, I've watched Young Rel come into his own, and I know that Billy Branch has been a big part of that as a mentor. And I hope you're getting an opportunity to do some mentoring with this younger generation that's coming up too. Jontavious Willis, Sean McDonald, wonderful musicians. I think that the future generation of the blues is really looking good. But I want to ask you a question, man. Do you think you could have hung in there this long if it weren't for the Chicago blues scene? Because Chicago really is a fertile ground for the genre, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is, being one of the hometowns of it, I would say, if not
yeah.
the biggest. We have a big influence on the genre, if not one of the biggest influences on the genre.
I would agree.
I would never see it being any different. Yeah, I the younger generation, I feel like we, and not saying we, because I know I am a part of the younger generation.
You are. Yeah.
I've experienced so much. I mean, once you start sneaking in them clubs at 5 years old, you're not even thinking about being the younger generation. Like, I've been before. So it's like, yeah, like Young Real, I love Young Real. I love what he's doing. I met him way before he even tried to, you know what I'm saying, jump on the scene like he's doing now he knows better than I know. But met him a while ago, and I loved him then. But the type of person Young Real is, you could tell that he's been here before also. You don't find too many kids influenced and interested in the blues like Young Real.
Right, right.
He's an old soul.
Yes, sir.
A pure definition of an old soul. You wouldn't find too many of those kids, old soul kids in that generation. So for him to be even, you know, picked up for sure is a blessing and an honor within itself from Billy Branch. And you know, I would call it right place, right time.
How do you feel you've grown as a musician and an artist since you first began? And where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Let me answer the first part.
Sure.
I've grown as a musician. Did you say musician, artist? I can kind of encapsulate all of that in one.
As a musician and an artist, yeah.
For sure, because I kind of got to see the same thing as the same thing. But growth is inevitable. My perspective of it has broadened. You know what I mean? What I thought to be is not what it is, and my new understanding of what it is to be is great. And I want to learn more. That's the whole thing of never stop learning, you know, just being open-minded to, you know, everything. Growing as an artist kind of like, you know, helps me deal with other musicians, deal with gigs, deal with, you know, just overall life. Cause you don't stop being an artist just because you put your instrument down.
Right.
That's the word. So, like just being able to, be myself. That's how I grew. Just being more of myself, being able to be more comfortable on stage and, interact with the audience. I feel like my stage presence has gotten more interactive. I ain't gonna say better, but interactive, and people are receiving me better. I didn't know how to, you know, open up. Like you started off saying, I bust the door down now when I come on stage. I wasn't always comfortable doing it. I was, you know, let me tiptoe or let me, at this point, honestly, now I don't even have a song list on stage.
So the second part of the question is, where do you see yourself in, say, 10 years down the road?
As an artist?
Sure. Well, I hope so. I hope you're going to stick around.
Right. Yeah, me too. Yeah. You know, and just to, you know, I don't want to be too extra deep. I don't want to seem like I'm going off the rail or nothing. To expand on what I mean about finding out what I thought to be is not what it is now. When I thought in high school and grammar school, we all had this dream of being a record artist, of we gonna get this record deal, and you know, we gonna go on tour, and we gonna, you know what I'm saying, play music every day for our life, and had a spectacular life of just music being our dream, and we don't have to work an everyday job, and you know, bills, you know what I'm saying, our music could take care of our bills and stuff like that. When you find out what actual record deal is, and not saying it's a bad thing at all, but everybody, you have a lot of people out here. Delusion is a real thing. You have a lot of artists out here that don't know about, you know what I'm saying, the whole record label side of actually trying to expand on being an artist. Some people can just get up, make music, and go to sleep and be good everyday life. I wish I could be one of those people. But you know what I mean? I also feel my financial life should also meet my artist life, you know, should be
understood,
you know, or even surpass it.
So mm-hmm. Where can we send people to learn more about you? Maybe buy some CDs or merch or book you for a gig.
So I am on all social media platforms. Website is in the works.
Okay.
I'm on all social media platforms. Honestly, if you look up Jemiah Rogers on Google, you'll find me and everything you need to know. If you directly email me or inbox me on any of my social media platforms with a professional message to try to use my services, we can talk.
Jemiah Rogers, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to join me today on Time Signatures. I wish you all the best, and trust me, I'll be watching your progress. And if you get into or close to Michigan, I will absolutely make time to come out and support you on the road. The other thing that I always tell people that come on the program is any time from this point forward that you have an album or a tour to promote, you get in touch with me and we will have a microphone ready for you. How's that sound?
Yes, sir. And I greatly appreciate that.
And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Jemiah Rogers, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Now, for more information about CABS, visit capitalareablues.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham. You can find this episode and past episodes of Time Signatures at lccconnect.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.
Baby, I'm home.
Ooh, shuggy ducky.